Adrenal Alternatives Foundation, education, advocacy, and encouragement for all adrenal disease. Welcome to the Adrenal Alternatives Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the live Q&A on the topic of the cortisol pump. My name is Winslow Dixon, and I'm the founder of Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. And we received a lot of questions lately on the cortisol pump, what it is, how we can access it. And so we are going to host this live event today, and you're welcome to type in any questions that you have. But we're just going to cover some of the mainly asked questions that we get regarding cortisol pumping and how to access it. So I just want to put out the disclaimer first that we are not a replacement for medical advice. We do not diagnose adrenal disease. We simply help people get to the resources to manage it. So we are not a replacement for medical care, and we are not giving any diagnostic criteria today. So I just want to just open up the floor again. If anybody has any questions, feel free to type them in. This is a live event, which will be pre-recorded, or it will be recorded for playback. So if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. Again, my name is Winslow Dixon. I'm the founder of Adrenal Alternatives. I have adrenal disease myself, and I've been a pumper for a little over a year now. And it has amazed me that this option of the cortisol pump seems to be so difficult to access, not just here in the US, but also internationally. So this foundation was founded to help fix that issue. And like I said, I hope that future generations will not have to suffer the way that we have to access better treatment. So that's why we're here. If you'd like more information on the foundation, you can always visit our website, which is adrenalalternatives.com. So our first point today is basically the cortisol pump. What is it? A lot of people haven't heard of it. Most endocrinologists haven't heard of it. It's kind of an unknown within the endocrine community, which is a shame because it's been such a life-changing option for many of us. So basically, the cortisol pump is an infusion pump, which is typically filled with the medication insulin, which, as we know, treats diabetes. But in the case of adrenal insufficiency, it is filled with Soyucortef, which is the powder version of cortisol, which is the bioidentical hydrocortisone. So basically what we do with the cortisol pump is we take the concept of infusion pumps, and instead of putting it with insulin, we fill it with Soyucortef. So we take our vial of Soyucortef, we fill it with saline or bacteriostatic water, 1 or 2 mL depending on your ratios, and we mix that and then put it in the infusion pump, set it with certain rates, and then it then gives us medication through continuous infusion through the subcutaneous insets. So it's a very different concept than taking the cortisol pills. That's the standard treatment, as we all know, is taking a pill 1 to 2 to 3 times a day to try to give your cortisol replacement. And the more that we've seen, and especially with those of us who have had malabsorption issues and struggling like that, we see that taking the pill 2 to 3 times a day is really not the best option. The more that we're discovering about circadian rhythm dosing, which is dosing according to how the body would naturally produce cortisol, we're seeing that the infusion pump is a life-changing treatment. And so it's unfortunate that it's such an unknown in the endocrine community. So that's another topic that we're going to talk about, is how to find a pump-friendly endocrinologist. And let me just tell you, it's unfortunately a needle in a haystack at this point. We're going to change that, but for now, that is the option. So we're just going to give a few tips on how to find a pump-friendly endocrinologist. A lot of people message us and say, oh, you know, I'm in this area, you know, internationally. I've had people contact us from all over the world and say, give me the list of the pump-friendly endos. And there is a list, I think AI United or someone like that, and we appreciate the work that they've done with that. But it's so few and far between that that's not exactly how it works right now. In order to find a pump-friendly endocrinologist, you unfortunately are going to have to do the work. What our suggestion is there is a form letter on our website in our downloadable materials section. And it basically is kind of a pump proposal letter. So basically what we encourage patients to do is to print out this letter, fill it out with your information, and the website explains how to do it, and then send it out to different endocrinologists in your area. And basically this letter explains, okay, I have this diagnosis. I have adrenal insufficiency because of Sheehan, CAH, primary Addison's, whatever. I am not doing well on steroid pills. I have this, this, and this problem. I want to be put on the cortisol pump. Would you be willing to do this? And then also, you can print out studies to send to this endocrinologist. What we encourage people to do is send it out to every endocrinologist locally, within your state, within your area, and don't waste time going and seeing these endocrinologists if they're not going to help you. So this letter is kind of a preemptive step to see who is willing to help you. And so you can send this letter to an endocrinologist before your appointment and say, this is what I want. Are you willing to do this? If they say no, cancel the appointment. Don't go in. If they say yes, go in with your documentation, go in with your medical records, and try to not convince them. But this is, like I said, an unknown in the medical community. And so if you are willing to go in with your educated, documented resources, your medical history, and, you know, documentation from other sources that the pump is an appropriate therapy, then they're more willing to work with you. That being said, some endocrinologists are terrified of the cortisol pump. I don't know why. I think it's because it's something new, you know, and you might not find every endocrinologist. They might say no, but the point is that you need to give yourself the best shot to find an endocrinologist. So on our website, on the downloadable material, like I said, there's a pump proposal letter. I wish there was a list of like 10,000 endocrinologists internationally that would work with patients, but unfortunately, that's not where we're at. So you kind of have to start it from a grassroots point. You have to find your own endocrinologist, unfortunately, right now. So we have created this letter to help you do that. If you need any additional assistance, feel free to contact us and we'll try to help you as best we can. Like I said, there is a very small list of pump-friendly endocrinologists, but it's so few and far between that it's we're working on that. So that's our tip on finding a pump-friendly endocrinologist. So our next point is the different types of pump systems. So let's say you do find an endocrinologist that's willing to help you with this pump. Well, how do you choose a pump system? There are mainly three different kinds. I know there are a few little smaller companies, but the main kinds of cortisol pumps are T-Slim, Omnipod, and Medtronic. How do you choose which pump option is right for you? Well, let me just tell you, it's going to depend on what your insurance covers, and we'll talk about that next, and what basically you feel the most comfortable with. I have personally had Omnipod and Medtronic. I have not had T-Slim. But the T-Slim and the Medtronic are tubed pumps. So basically that means that these pumps have tubing with them and you're connected to the pump itself. And so if you are a very active person or things like that, the tubing might get hooked on stuff. I get hooked on doorknobs and stuff all the time. Not that I'm a super active person, but it's after having the Omnipod system, I much prefer that. But because of insurance issues, I have had to go back to Medtronic. But that being said, T-Slim and Medtronic are tubed pumps. Medtronic is the dominant company that pretty much does infusion pumps and supplies. So they are easier to get to. So that's kind of an easier option for those of you that may be new pumpers. Like I said, Medtronic dominates the industry right now, so you can get their supplies and things like that maybe easier through suppliers. I get them through my pharmacy than you might with T-Slim and Omnipod. Omnipod is the newer company, and so their customer service has been excellent. I have been very pleased with Omnipod, but my insurance has denied them. So it just depends on what your specific insurance will cover and what you feel most comfortable with. But the bottom line with pump systems is any pump system is going to do what you need it to do. So you might have a preferred one, but the point is to just getting to something that's going to give you this coverage. It's going to give you the 24/7 cortisol infusion. You might, you might not get the system that you want. Like I said, I prefer Omnipod, but I am on Medtronic right now. But like I said, you can work with many, many companies, and basically you just want to access something that will help you get that 24-hour infusion. I can't tell you the world of difference that it's been for me just having the 24/7 infusion versus taking the pills. Just to give you a little personal note, I am a hypermetabolizer. So when I was on tablets, I was having to take them every 90 minutes. And I would have to set an alarm, and it was just, I would have to wake up through the night, and then it was an unfortunate thing. So the infusion pump, I definitely recommend. Like I said, work with a reputable endocrinologist, try to get a system that your insurance will cover, and do that. That's the best option. So I have some comments here about your endocrinologist said they've never heard of the pump. Yes, that is a common problem that we're trying to work on right now with advocacy and awareness. I don't Addison's is considered a rare disease anyways. Adrenal insufficiency, I do not think is as rare as they say it is. I just believe they don't test for it. Like I said, that's a personal opinion, you know, whatever. But a lot of endocrinologists have not heard of even adrenal insufficiency to the level that we have it. People like me and other patients, they're taught that, okay, well, a person can come in and they have adrenal insufficiency and they take a pill twice a day and they live a normal life. And that's what's in the textbooks. Textbooked endocrinology has not been updated for treatment protocol since 1920. This is 2019. And it's really an issue of awareness and research. And that's one reason this foundation pushes so heavily on the truth of adrenal disease, because it's not take a pill and go live your life again. It's not, you know, take a pill twice a day and just go do everything that you can do. It's really a detrimental disease that we're so behind on. There's so many research avenues that need to be done and that should be done that are not being done. And so that's an objective that we personally have with this foundation, is we are going to change that. It, you know, it's going to take years and it's going to take a lot of funding and it's going to do a lot of research, but it's going to get there, because future generations with this disease should not have to fight this hard to get to this treatment. So let me answer this question. Diabetics have patches they wear, constantly test their blood sugar. Do you think Addison's will ever have that? Absolutely. Like I said, there are a lot of research and biotechnical things that need to be done with this disease. We have partnered with a lot of companies and a lot of biotech organizations that I hope to see in my day. There be a we're going to call it a corticometer, which is a device that checks your cortisol, just like the diabetics have a glucometer. We have a bioengineer on our team currently. Like I said, it's going to take a lot of funding, it's going to take a lot of research, but we absolutely will get there. That's a goal that this foundation has. I hope one day we can just stick our finger and know what our cortisol is. And the technology just has not been created yet. And so I hope within my lifetime that we do have that. That is a goal of this foundation. Like I said, you can check on our website to see our team. We have a bioengineer that has signed on with us, and he has gracefully agreed to volunteer his services. So yes, we hope in the future, eventually, we do have a corticometer. And I have a question from Sandra here about, she's going to a conference. So, if you have someone, they said they're going to a conference regarding endocrinology, the questions that really mainly come up are, you know, what can we do to get more awareness on this? What can we do to try to make the transition easier? And as far as the pump goes, I really recommend anybody who is trying to, you know, talk about the pump or it has adrenal insufficiency at all, to get Professor Hindmarsh's book. He is really the only standard source on cortisol pumping. I know Lovaas is another one, but Hindmarsh is pretty much the standard as far as, you know, adrenal care with the pump and the research on the continuous infusion. So I would recommend, Sandra, that your friend get the book Congenital Adrenal Hyperplasia by Professor Hindmarsh. It's available on Amazon and also their website. It is the Bible, not to be, you know, disrespectful, but if you have adrenal insufficiency, it is literally the Bible on it, because it has so much information about cortisol, about how it impacts everything, fevers, you know, your body, insulin, all this stuff. And it's so informative. And so I would recommend your friend getting that. That being said, let's move on to our next point. So finding insurance coverage for your pump. Let me tell you that I am in the fight right there with you. Like I said, I have had to go back to Medtronic. I was on Omnipod. And so, right now I'm in a fight too. So let me just tell you the few tips that you can do to try to get insurance coverage. Find out what your specific plan covers. Some plans don't cover durable medical equipment in certain formularies. It's really complicated. And with Omnipod, it's kind of confusing, because Omnipod is not considered durable medical equipment. It's considered a pharmaceutical, which is very confusing, because it is medical equipment, but it falls under the radar. So you have to find out what your insurance covers. And that being said, if they deny it, you can appeal it. I am in my third appeal with my insurance right now to try to get Omnipod. So what I recommend you doing is you have to find out for one, how the reason that your insurance has denied it. So if they say insufficient medical information, then you then have to turn around and send every bit of documentation, every bit of medical information you can get. And we have some links on our website to studies with the cortisol pump and things like that. So just get as much documentation as you can. There's also some other documentation that you could put in there, but your doctor has to file what's called a formulary exemption. And so you're going to need to find either a primary care physician or an endocrinologist that's going to help you fight this. And that's pretty much super key when it comes to this. And I'm not going to sit here and say that you'll win every time. But contact us if you need extra help, and we'll definitely give it our best shot. Like I said, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of appeals, but it has been done, and we have won against the insurance companies. So let me answer this question. Please say the name of the book again. Okay, the name of the book is called Congenital Adrenal Hyperplasia, and it's by Professor Hindmarsh, which is Hindmarsh, I believe. It is excellent. I will, in fact, post the links to this, to that book. I really highly recommend getting that. So let's just review a little bit about what we talked about. Like I said, the cortisol pump is a replacement treatment for cortisol. Like I said, it's an unknown. It's something that the medical community hasn't really recognized that, and that's something that we're definitely trying to change. Let me just explain a little bit on the difference between the pills, the sub-Q injections, and the cortisol pump. So we all know that the standard treatment for adrenal insufficiency is steroid pills, steroid tablets, prednisone, dexamethasone, Rheos, and hydrocortisone. Hydrocortisone is the most dominantly used replacement therapy because it does have the best bioavailability and it is the most natural form. There are also other new, upcoming things. Like I said, Rheos is the newest steroid, which is basically a long-acting prednisone. I know that a lot of people have had success with that. But that being said, there are some of us who have been on every steroid possible and have malabsorption issues and just did not stabilize on tablets. Like I said, I was one of those people. I have a kidney disease as well, and so I did not absorb the tablets. I gained 100 pounds. I went from, being in school, I was pursuing a degree in medicine, to not being able to get out of bed. And so I really started searching for another option and discovered the cortisol pump. So that being said, if you are trying to get to the pump and you're currently not doing on pills, an in-between step that a lot of people do are subcutaneous injections, which a lot of diabetics do this as well with insulin. So basically, it's where you would get a prescription for the cortisol powder, which is Soyucortef, and you would mix it with the saline to a 1-to-1 ratio or a 2-to-1 ratio, which basically means how much ml of saline you would put. To explain that a little more, a 1-to-1 ratio with Soyucortef means 1 milligram of cortisol is equal to how you put 1 ml in your syringe. So you would pull 1 ml of your saline and put that into the 100 milligram. If you do a 2-to-1 ratio, you would then put 2 milligrams or 2 mls of your saline and then put it into the 100 milligram. So it would be a 2-to-1 ratio. So with the 2-to-1 ratio, 2 units of Soyucortef would be equal to 1 milligram. With a 1-to-1 ratio, 1 ml is equal to 1 milligram. And so it just depends on, if you have the acto vials, those are automatically going to be the 2-to-1 ratio. So then you would have to calculate your dose to that. Like I said, there is an article on our website on the subcutaneous injections, but that's definitely something that you can mention to your endocrinologist. If they're kind of about the pump and you're going to have to kind of convince them, talk to them about the subcutaneous injections. Like I said, there's a few studies on that, which we will add to the website, but that's a kind of good step in between. I personally did that before I was on the pump, and it kind of prepares you to learn how to do the saline and the reconstitution of the Soyucortef because it's kind of intimidating at first, even for me. I mean, I was in medicine before, but when you're having to mix something that goes in your body and it's just a little overwhelming at first. So I definitely recommend you either, you know, obviously working with an endocrinologist, but also, you know, feel free to contact us or, you know, somebody that is a veteran pumper or whatever with that, because it's definitely a good middle step. So does increased heart rate with sub-Q? Let me answer this question. So as far as does it increase heart rate with subcutaneous? With cortisol replacement, if you're on an appropriate dose, it should not have any crazy side effects like that. Like I said, everyone's different, and I know that POTS and things like that are very common with adrenal insufficiency, and we're not here for medical advice. But the standard treatment and documentation is if you're on the right dose, it shouldn't increase your heart rate that much, because it's what's called, I think they call it like a physiological replacement dose. So if someone who does not have adrenal insufficiency gets a cortisol shot, it's going to increase their heart rate because they're not deficient in it. You who have adrenal insufficiency, if you get, it's a replacement dose. So you already don't have it, so it's not adding to it, if that makes any sense. That being said, you need to be on the right dose, because over and under replacement can cause many, many issues. I know that, when my cortisol is low, my heart rate actually elevates. And that's one reason that I know that I need to bolus or give myself extra or something like that. You just kind of have to know your body. And that's why it's important to work with an endocrinologist. And it's also important to keep really good documentation on your symptoms, on your disease, on what everything goes on. Not to plug myself here, but I was having a really hard time keeping track of my symptoms and what I was doing and, you know, what was causing different things. And so I actually created a journal format that I published called the Piece by Piece Journal, so I could keep track of my symptoms, what was causing what. And so when you do that, you then see, okay, well, this is when my cortisol is the lowest and I was having these symptoms, or this is when it was the highest and this was happening. And so it allows you to kind of put your pieces together to figure out a better picture of health. And like I said, I didn't make it to make a ton of money or whatever, but I did it because people like us have to know our details, and we have to know, okay, is my cortisol low? Is it too high? Because like we previously mentioned, there's not a corticometer right now. There's no way of knowing really where our cortisol is at other than how we're feeling. And the endocrinologists really don't understand that, because they think, well, you're taking a pill twice a day, it's 20 milligrams, you should be fine. And it's like, I'm dying. What is the problem here? And so when you do have the documentation, when you're writing down your symptoms, what goes on, you know, what you're eating, you don't understand how much really can affect your cortisol. Cortisol is what's called a pulsating hormone. And so if you didn't have adrenal disease, your body would naturally produce more in some states and less in some states. And they have done studies on, you know, cortisol in high stress states. And it's amazing, because post car wrecks and post traumatic experiences, cortisol can rise like to crazy high levels. And people with adrenal insufficiency can't do that. We're constantly having to artificially manage a body system. And I think that's why so many of us struggle with life management, because it's so difficult. And so with the journal, it allows you to just kind of keep track of everything. And like I said, I made it for myself because I wanted to know why I was getting these horrible migraines, why I was getting this high heart rate, why my blood pressure was doing crazy things. And it allowed me to be able to track my symptoms. So like I said, not trying to plug myself, but that is a tool that I personally use. So I thought more people could use it. So, that being said, I definitely highly recommend that, because this disease is not one size fits all. This disease is not, hey, take a pill, you're fine. And it affects so many people so differently. And there are many of us that have multiple diagnoses. There are many of us that have multiple life stressors. There are many of us that adrenal insufficiency is not all that we battle. I think everybody's like that. And so when you have other stressors, you can't sit there and say, well, I take 20 milligrams a day and I'm fine. And that's what I really try to educate endocrinology about, is that cortisol is a pulsating hormone. It is not standard. And the thing is that with diabetes, that used to be the understanding with diabetes, is, well, you just replace the insulin and you're fine. And then the more that they did research and the more that the pumps came out, they saw that diabetics need a different level of insulin every day. And that's why they have the freedom of sub-Q injections, the pump, they have the glucometers. Their disease, you know, is where our disease was at 100 years ago. We don't have the research on it. We don't have the documentation on it to sit there and say, those of us with severe forms of adrenal insufficiency are going to need more than those with just subpar adrenal function. And that's a whole nother issue, you know. And there's so many, you know, there's just so very little research on cortisol and on the levels of adrenal insufficiency. There are levels of adrenal insufficiency, and there's no documentation and there's no research that there's a gradient of adrenal function. And adrenal insufficiency is adrenal insufficiency, but in someone who has like a chronic kidney disease, or someone who has gastroparesis, or in someone who has Sheehan syndrome, there's no differentiation between how the disease affects all these different forms. It's adrenal insufficiency, adrenal insufficiency, take a steroid. It's like, no, there's so much more than that. There's so much more that we need to learn. There's so much more that we need to understand. The body is a synergistic machine. The body works off of different chemicals, and when one is off, another's going to be off. And so it's just, it's insane that they sit there and say, okay, well, all forms of adrenal insufficiency, take the steroid 2 to 3 times a day and you'll be fine. And the misinformation is why the deaths in this community are so high. And it truly, truly bothers me, because I saw the post this week on the young lady that was a new mother that passed away in her sleep. And I didn't know her. I don't know her name. I just kind of saw that, and condolences to the family. And I'm, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm not trying to broadcast this or whatever, but we have lost so many young lives in this community. We have lost so many people that it's preventable deaths. And I'm not saying that the family couldn't have done more, because I've been on this disease and I've been on the other side of it. And I know how difficult it is to treat, but when we need to start with the message that this disease needs to be managed personally, this disease needs to be managed case by case by case. And so you cannot sit there in endocrinology and say 20 milligrams is the standard dose for everyone, because everyone has different stressors, everyone has different issues, everyone's body is different. And if you test a control group, which eventually we will do as soon as we get in these clinical trials, working on that, but anyways, if there's a control group of healthy individuals, you will find that their cortisol production varies day to day to day to day to day. Yes, there's like a standard of like, okay, there's a range, but the person's body is not going to produce the same amount every single day because the stressors are different. Think about, you know, if you're stuck in traffic or something like that, or if you, you know, if something happens to your child or you're in a rush or something, your body's going to react to that. We can't. Our bodies cannot react to that with adrenal insufficiency. And so that's why there's so many deaths in this community, because our bodies can't do what needs to be done. And so cortisol deficiency can happen like that. Cortisol deficiency can happen in 3 seconds. I mean, and I've seen it happen to me, because I'll be out doing something and I'll be fine, and then I'll all of a sudden tank, and you know, everybody's symptoms are different. And that's another thing we need to talk about is, you know, adrenal crisis symptoms are so different for everyone. But with me, I have weird symptoms. And so I'll see myself tanking and go, I need to give myself more. And now that I'm on the cortisol pump, I can. Before, when I was on the tablets, I didn't have any control over it, because I only had the amount of pills that the endocrinologist wrote for me. And so when you have the cortisol pump, it gives you the freedom to give your body what it needs. And that is the message that this foundation is going to push every single day. Give your body what it needs. This is a pulsating hormone. This is a hormone that is not consistent even in healthy people every day. And no, I'm not saying go take 100 milligrams a day and just give yourself a shot if you ever feel bad, because it's not always cortisol. But with me, like I said, when you track your symptoms, when you understand your body, when you know for a fact something is off and you have something as serious as adrenal insufficiency, you need to take it upon yourself to be an empowered patient to say, I'm not living like this. And that's why we heavily advocate so hard to find an endocrinologist that's willing to work with you. I have been through 7 endocrinologists in 3 different states, and it's not that I'm difficult, you know, not that I'm saying I'm not, but it's because I know what I know about this disease. I know how I feel. I have watched enough people in this community. I have worked with enough patients in this organization to know that my story is everybody's story. The severe forms of adrenal insufficiency deserve to have the power in their lives to take the cortisol that they need to be able to function. If you are constantly too exhausted to shower, too exhausted to feed yourself, too exhausted to work a full-time job, too exhausted to get out of bed, when you feel like life has been sucked out of you, and I'm not being dramatic, even though I am kind of dramatic, but that's how this cortisol deficiency feels. When you're low on cortisol, you are not yourself. You have so many issues. You can't think. You can't function in the normal world. I mean, there are so many implications with low cortisol. And so I am so tired of this community just being downgraded and downplayed like we're just dramatic. We need to be dramatic. We need to tell the truth. We need to sit there and say, you know what? This disease is really difficult to manage. Help me manage it. You're a doctor. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to just throw me a pill and tell me to live my life. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And that's why, you know, we advocate so heavily for steroids save lives. Yeah, they have side effects. Yeah, I'm fat. That's okay. I'm alive. I would rather be fat and alive than skinny and the alternative. So, not to get on a rant, that was kind of a rant, so I do apologize for that. But anyways, let me just recap. So, we talked about the cortisol pump. We talked about how there are different types of pump systems, T-Slim, Omnipod, and Medtronic. And we talked about finding a pump for an endocrinologist. And like I said, there are links on our website. When you go to adrenalalternatives.com, there's a tab that says downloadable materials. There's a letter called the pump proposal, which you can fill out with your information and give it to your doctor. I highly, highly recommend that. Send it out to every endocrinologist in your area and just see if anybody's willing to help you. Don't waste time and money on somebody who's not willing to help you. And as far as insurance coverage goes, just recapping, insurance coverage is going to be dependent on your specific plan, and you're going to have to file appeals. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's going to be just approved first off, because it's not. But it's worth the fight. Your life is worth the fight. So I'm here to just encourage you that it's a difficult fight. It's an uphill battle. It's really tiring. It's obnoxious. But one day it won't be this way. But for right now, that's the way it is. So get your documentation, get a doctor that's behind you, get someone who's gonna help you file those formulary exemptions, get as much documentation as possible, get your personal medical records. You can do this, you can fight this, and we're here to help you. So I appreciate everybody who tuned into this. Again, my name is Winslow Dixon. I'm the founder of Adrenal Alternatives. And if you need any more information, our website is adrenalalternatives.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Adrenal Alternatives Foundation podcast. For more information, you can visit our website at adrenalalternatives.com or our social media pages, facebook.com/hopeforadrenaldisease. Our Twitter handle is Adrenal Advocate, and our Instagram is Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. Just as an addendum, since this was recorded, we have since aligned with the CR3 organization. So if you're needing a cortisol pump, please visit our website and click on the cortisol pump info tab. Thank you.